The Backstory, the Prologue, Commentary for the October 19, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil, for everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Photons of light are the fastest known objects in the universe. Physicists have theorized that superluminal, or speed faster than the speed of light, is impossible because the energy required to move even an infinitesimal amount of mass at that speed would be impossible to achieve. Nonetheless, science fiction writers have toyed with the idea of travel at such speeds. Scientists tell us that even at light speed, travel to a planetary system only 4 light-years away would make huge demands on those engaging in such travel, contained in an interplanetary vessel for those 4 years. However, based on Einstein's theory of special relativity, those traveling at such speeds would experience the effects of time much less than those who remained here on Earth. If they arrived back home after a round trip, they would hardly appear to have aged at all, while those on Earth would be 8 years older. Given enough distance at those speeds, those returning would find no one they had known to still be alive to welcome them. It can be a difficult concept to grasp, but as one's speed increases, time slows until it reaches the speed of light. Were superluminal travel possible, theoretically, time would flow ever faster backwards as speed beyond that of light increased. In a sense, we might think of light speed as a natural barrier that prevents time paradoxes that could potentially wreak havoc with the timeline and even potentially and inadvertently erase our own existence. This is fodder for science fiction and fantasy writers, but until the day arrives when someone shows up in a superluminal capable vessel and claims to be from the future, we have nothing to worry about. Anecdotally, we have one case in the Bible that hints at travel approaching light speed in the book of Daniel. While Daniel is praying, word goes out, presumably from God, directing the angel Gabriel to respond, and Gabriel arrives while Daniel is still praying, according to Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 23. We do not know the distances involved. We do not know where heaven is, nor do we know where Gabriel was when the call went out to him. But Daniel was impressed enough to make note of it. It seems light and goodness are strongly associated deep within our being. This has been demonstrated through good and evil actions. In the Western cowboy movies of the 1940s and 50s, the good guys often wore white hats and even white outfits, while the bad guys would wear black hats and outfits. The bad guys would also sneak around under the cover of darkness to perpetrate their evil acts. Good guys like Hopalong Cassidy, Roy Rogers, or the numerous characters played by Audie Murphy were idolized and mimicked by children who watched these movies and television series. But there was a downside to all of this as well. With black denoting the bad guys and white the good guys, it does not take much of a stretch to see how this also ingrained racist attitudes in the populace with a black skin, causing an unexplainable feeling of unease in those whose skins were much lighter. It became far too easy for those attributes of the bad guys in the movies to be attributed to those with darker skin in real life. Where there has been no threat, fearmongers conjure up threats based on this negative conditioning. Whether it is a fear of modern black people forming associations that would allow them to help one another, or ancient Christians skulking about in the darkness of the catacombs of Rome. There always seem to be those ready to warn people, to deal with a supposed menace before it comes out of the darkness to hurt them. These demagogues keep the people in a constant state of fear, then as now, because fearful people are the easiest to manipulate. These demagogues convince them that they share their fear and that they are going to do something about it, even though the same fear has existed and been manipulated for thousands of years. As a result, the fearful will be eating out of the hand of the one promising such deliverance. It is this fear that brings darkness to the earth, and in that darkness, so many who let that fear rule them do unspeakable things that would be recognized for their evilness were it revealed in the light. So they remain in the dark that their fear created, fearing that their fear itself will be revealed for what it is and destroy them. While this may appear to be a brave new world that will deal with all this fear, it is a dystopian nightmare. People seek out others with similar fears and band together to devise methods of exterminating what is causing that fear. Those methods can escalate all the way to the level of nuclear warfare, assuring mutual destruction of everything that humanity has achieved. Convinced that their salvation only exists in the finger poised silently over that red button, fear is not assuaged, because we also know that one deranged individual in such a position could send those nuclear explosions cascading across the earth. That it has not happened so far may be a divine miracle holding back those annihilating forces, as in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, the Bible tells us that God created light. In that light that shone in the darkness was the genesis of life. It was not part of the plan to live in darkness and fear. We read that when everything is restored, there will no longer be darkness, according to Revelation 22, verse 5. Early on, humanity chose darkness to hide their fear and the acts that result from fear. They hid from God in the bushes of Eden. Choosing darkness only escalated over time. The price of that has been destruction repeatedly throughout humanity's history. But rather than see fear as the basis of that choice, and therefore the real enemy, they see the destruction as corroborating those fears, and despite the destruction it causes, fear endures. That fear has its root in a fear of death, which links all the way back to a fear of missing out, or FOMO, as social media uses the term. Death is the ultimate missing out. God wants us to stop being afraid. To that end, Jesus incarnated in Israel 20 centuries ago. He taught that there will be no missing out with his followers. Those missing out will be those living in fear and manipulating others through that fear. Where they would have us all hide fearfully in the darkness, Jesus called us to walk in the light. He taught us that the key to doing that was to love. If we open our hearts to him, God will make that possible. Our hearts have become stony, frozen with fear. But with the light of love, God can heal even the hardest heart that opens itself to him, according to Ezekiel 36:26. Love can drive out fear, according to 1 John 4, verse 18. Love tells us we have a choice. It is proactive. Fear tells us we have no choice. It is reactive. But we have always had a choice. That is the light that Jesus brings to our world, knowledge that we have a choice. Our fear causes us to line up behind this demagogue or that. They tell us that if we do not, the other side will win, and all will be lost. So people line up behind their favorite. Some claim to be independent, but nonetheless will side sycophantically with whichever side causes them to feel the most fearful, without any true loyalty to either. No wonder Jesus compared us to sheep without a shepherd in Matthew 9, verse 36. For a shepherd loves their sheep. The shepherd knows that striking fear into the flock only scatters it. But the sheep are drawn by a loving shepherd whom they can trust. Jesus demonstrated the greatest love possible with his death upon the cross on behalf of the flock, according to John 15, verse 13. The Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, tells us the story of that love and how we can find our way back to it. At Pentecost, after Jesus' death and resurrection, the crowds, responding to Peter's message, asked how they could find their way back. He responded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. Now that Christ has come and promised to return in order to remind us that we still have the choice that so many through the centuries have told us we no longer have, the choice to love and not fear, all that remains is for each of us to decide now that we know. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles by the author and links to books that he's written. Once again, that is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.